Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 14 lines from the top of Daf Samach Aleph. You will notice a Mishnah approximately in the middle of the page. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Machshavos Shoinos VeHashpa'osam, different mindsets or thoughts that one has and their effects Al Korban HaPesach, regarding the acceptability of the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah. Shachatoi Shaloi L'Oichlov V'Shalo L'Minuyov L'Areilim U'L'Tmeim Posel. If one shechts the Korban Pesach and has in mind Shalo L'Oichlov, people who are incapable of eating it, or he has in mind people that were not appointed, or those who did not join up, that's the minuyov. Those who were low minuyov did not join up with the group that is designated for eating the Korban Pesach, which we refer to as the chabura. Le'areilim, if you shechted the Korban Pesach and had in mind people that were uncircumcised. And you'll see, when you learn the Rashi in these sukkis, you'll see that the reference to those that are uncircumcised are people that could not circumcise themselves because they had siblings that had previously been circumcised and died as a result. So the halacha takes into consideration the fear of one's life. On the other hand, they are unable to eat from the Korban Pesach. And Tameim, people who are defiled. If you have any of these types of people in mind when you are shechting the Korban Pesach, so posel, the Korban is unfit. And the reason for that is that the Korban Pesach is a Korban that's designated for eating. This is in contrast with other kinds of sacrifices whose primary purpose is for atonement. Not so in the case of the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah goes on with another breakdown. Here you'll see mixed intentions. L'oichlov v'shelo l'oichlov. L'minuyov v'shelo l'minuyov. L'mulim u'l'areilim. L'mulim are people that are circumcised, together with areilim, uncircumcised. L'tmeim u'l'tahorim. Kosher. So in this section of the Mishnah, where you mix your intention, so the fact that you have an acceptable intention, the korban is okay. Shachatoi koidem chatzos, posel. If one slaughters the Korban Pesach before noon on the 14th of Nisan, it's unfit. Mishum shenemar, bein ho'arbayim. The expression bein ho'arbayim, according to this Tana, means after the sun starts to veer westward, namely after the noon hour. Shachatoi koidem letomid, kosher. If one shechted the Korban Pesach before the Tomid Shel Bar Bein Harbayim, it's okay. Ubilvad Sheyeh Echon Memores Bedomo, provided that one stirs the blood that was received in the receiving vessel, one stirs the blood of the Korban Pesach Ad Sheyizrok HaTomid, until the blood of the Tomid, the afternoon daily sacrifice, is applied to the Mizbeach. And the stirring keeps the blood of the Korban Pesach from coagulating, enabling you to sprinkle it on the Mizbeach after the Tomid Shel Bar Bayim, which, as we've learned in previous sukkis, is really what is expected. We have seen in previous sukkis the source already for the Korban Pesach is to be done after the Tomid Shel Bar Bayim. In this case, he slaughtered the Korban Pesach prematurely, and he did it in the afternoon, however, before the Tomid Shel Bein HaRabayim. So, as the Mishnah suggests, have the blood of the Korban Pesach stirred until the time that you sprinkle the afternoon daily public sacrifice. The im nizra kosher, if he didn't do that, but actually sprinkled the Korban Pesach blood before the Tomid Shel Bein HaRabayim, it's still okay. As is the case in many places in Halacha, there are first choice primary ways of conducting oneself. However, if one doesn't do so, it nevertheless is not binding, and therefore we say it's kosher. It's what we call bidi'eved. In post facto, it's okay. We open up the Gemara with a Tanaic source which elaborates on the Mishnah, and you can see we've used a double underline to emphasize the Ketzad Shelo Le'ochlov and then Ketzad Shelo Le'mnuyov. What is meant by those things? So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Shelo Le'ochlov, what is meant by shechting the Korban Pesach with non-ochlov in mind? Answer, L'shum Choyle or L'shum Zokein. If one shechts having in mind a sick individual, and a person who's incapable of eating even an olive quantity within the time frame known as Kedei Achilas Pras, which is a matter of minutes, or L'shum Zokein, or he has in mind an elderly person who likewise is incapable of consuming the olive quantity of Korban Pesach within that time frame. Ketzad Shelo Le'menuyov, what is meant by that? By Shelo Le'menuyov, Nimnu Alav Chaburazu, imagine a group of people joined together to participate in a particular Korban Pesach, V'shachatoi L'shum L'shem Chaburachers, and you slaughtered it having in mind some group other than those that joined with this particular Korban Pesach. So you had in mind another group that didn't join up for this particular animal. Mino Hanimili. Here you have triangles that appear, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Nosei Mivne heading, you can see the triangle is featured. Mino Hanimili, we put in quotation marks, but that applies also to the Mino Lon, which is the same basic idea. From where do we know? These are Makoros sources. The boy Lishchol HaPesach LeMnuyov, L'shem Anoshim Shiyacholim Lechol. From where do we know that there is a need for this, for having in mind those who are appointed and those who are capable of eating? The Gemara, Mino Hani Mili, the Tonu Rabbonan. Where do we know that which the Rabbonan taught? So the source says, B'michsas. This is a posuk that you'll find in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Dalet, and we have this on the side of the Gemara, where the Pasuk says, V'im yim'at habayis miyois miseh, v'lo kachu ushchenoi hakoroiv el beisoi, v'michsas nefoshois, ish lefi ochloi tachoisu al haseh. So that if you have, let us say, too few people in your household to eat from the korban, then what does a person do? He gathers together his neighbors or others that are nearby, and the pasuk says b'michsas nefoshos. So melame, the Gemara says, after we read the b'michsas from the pasuk, melame she'ena pesach nishchat ela l'menuyov. So this shows us, we have a little two. This corresponds to the two, three lines above, where it had been stated, Ketzad Shelo Le'mnuyov. Here is the source for that. That the michsas word tells me that it must be shechted for those that had joined up to eat this specific korban that's being slaughtered. Yochol Shochtoi Shelo Le'mnuyov Yehei Ka'ivra Al Mitzvah V'Kosher. Would it be, or could you consider one who shechts for lo menuyah, for people that have not been appointed to this particular korban, that it's considered like a violator of a mitzvah who hasn't performed the mitzvah in its best way, but nevertheless it's okay, it's kosher? Not so. Talmud Lomar, b'michsas tachosu. As you can see in the pasuk that we read, you have the word b'michsas and the word tachosu, which come from the same root. Hakosuv shino olov la'akev. The pasuk repeats itself to show that it is binding, that the idea of being appointed to it is binding. Rebbe argues on the word tochosu. He says, Loshon sursi hu. The word tochosu, true, it appears in the Torah, but in trying to understand what that word means, we look at the sursi language. Rashi says, it's Arami. The Torah has words whose explanation or definition is lost, we'll say, for common man, for the common, let's say, Hebrew speakers. But if you go to other languages, you can understand what the word means. So that even elsewhere in the Shas, reference is made that in the Torah you will find words that are, we'll say, not strictly Hebrew. Here's an example, Lashon Arami. And what is the meaning of that? Ke'odam she'oimer l'chaveroi kos li tleze. The word kos means slaughter. Slaughter for me this animal. Ashkechon shelo l'mnuyov. We have found a source for the need to slaughter for those that are appointed, and if you do it for those that are not, so it's not acceptable. Shaloi la'oichlov minolon. Where is there a source for what we had before? Point number one, and you can see the one here corresponds to the one above the double underlined ketzad shalolochlov. So where do we know shalolochlov is a problem? And what did shalolochlov mean? Shechting it for those who cannot eat from it, who are incapable of eating from it. From where do we know that that represents a problem? Omar kro, ish lefi ochloi tochosu. The word ochlo is found together with the word tochosu, iskish oichlin lemnuyen. We compare the rule of eating to the rule of being appointed, and we proved already above that you need to be appointed. So just like you need to be appointed, the shechting of the Pesach must be for those who are capable of eating, to the exclusion of the choyle, the zokain, the orel, and the tomei. We continue at the top of Amud Beis with a question, or we'll say an issue that turns out to be a machlokes between Rav Chisda and Rabba. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, and take note that this lasts quite a long time. It goes till Samach Beis Amud Beis, so that in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiur today, we won't be finishing the entire topic. The Nosei, the topic heading, reads, Shachtoi Lemulim, a person slaughtered for people that are circumcised. In other words, he slaughtered it to have the korban eaten by those that are circumcised, that are capable of eating. Almenas shiiskapru areilim bezriko, with the intention that he's going to do the sprinkling of the blood for the uncircumcised. Haim yesh psul machsheves areilim bezriko. The question is, does the fact that someone is uncircumcised pose a problem for his having them in mind for the sprinkling? Now, we mentioned that as far as machsheves areilim for the shechita, that is a problem. If you would have in mind, I'm shechting in order for areilim to eat it, that renders the korban unfit. However, here he's shechting with proper people in mind. However, he has in mind that he's going to do the sprinkling for the areilim. So the Gemara at the top line, shochtoi lemulim almanas shiskap rubo areilim bezrika. he shechted it in mind with the mindset of having mulim eat from it, on condition that he's going to do the sprinkling with areilim in mind. Rav Chista Omar posel, Rabba Omar kosher. Rav Chista, now the Gemara goes over the shittas, we underline them in presenting the basic opinion, and here we've dashed underlined their names where they will be explaining themselves. Rav Chista Omar posel, why does that, it renders the korban posel, yesh machsheves areilim bezrika. The thought of areilim during the zrika is an improper thought. In other words, we render the korban unfit. Rabba Omar kosher, ein machsheves areilim bezrika. Rabba says that that mindset does not render the korban unfit. Still, it's a bit abstract. Where do they know these things from? That is now the task of the Gemara. And if you just give a bird's eye view, we'll say, of this page, you'll see that we've squiggled underline Rabbo. Now, Omar Rabbo, he says, Meno Aminola, from where do I know that the Machsheves Areilim Bezrika is a non-factor? It doesn't represent any problem. So we have a long point. Notice how long this section of Gemara is to develop Rabbo's point. Following the long point, more than halfway down the page, notice a squiggle underlined Rav Chista. Rav Chista reacts, and he says, Adarabo, le'idoch gisa, and he gives his opposing point of view. The structure is noted on the side under our Mivneh heading. You'll see in our Gemara Roman numerals 1 and 2. These represent Shnei Lashonos, or Gishos, two versions or approaches, Lahazbir HaBosis Shamachloikis Rabba V'Rav Chista, to explain the basis of their Machlokis. So, again, bird's eye view, take a look at the Gemara, the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you notice where we're holding now a Roman numeral number 1 in a little house form, and going way down to the bottom, the last line, a Roman numeral number 2, where Rav Ashi presents his version on the Machlokis Rav Chista v'Rabba. He says at the top of Samach Bezim and Aleph, Bahai Kro Kamiflegi, giving us a second approach, and that too will be a long point. So you'll see that in order to develop Rav Ashi's idea, that will take a number of lines as well. So now that we have kind of a bird's eye view of the Gemara, we start a Tanaic source. We can tell you ahead of time, and we might repeat ourselves later, that as we get to the latter part of the Tanaic source, you're going to see a bracketed section. And the reason for that is that the text within the brackets is unclear, as according to what the Gemara itself says. It doesn't make sense. Following the brackets, you'll see a diamond where the restated version of the source appears, where we see the word Talmud Lomar in a diamond. And in effect, that's Rabbah's rereading of the source. And that's why we have there's a dashed frame that appears. It's basically Rabbah's version of the way the source should read. Later, Rav Chista will say, no, I have an opposite approach to how to read the source. And that will appear with a second diamond, and to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, we featured the names Rabba and later Rav Chista, where they reread the source. So, on our initial read-through, we will probably skip the bracketed section and immediately read Rabba's version of the source. And after all of that is said and done, we'll have to see how we see in the source the support for Rabba, or Rabba's source for his din, that Ein Machsheves Areilim Bezrika. Now we take a look at the Gemara. Omar Rabba, Mino Amin Allah. From where do I know my point of view? The Sanya. Now, we've written in a pasuk, but that's based on what Rashi says, that's how the Brisa really begins. We have a little note to the side. There's a starred note. Brisa zu muvakan kechelik me'adiyun bein Rabba v'Rav Chisda. This Brisa is brought as part of the discussion involving Rabba and Rav Chisda. But Omud HaBol, that means on Samach Beis Omud Aleph, 16 shuros, Miroshom, with 16 lines from the top. Keta Shebesograyim, there's going to be a very long bracketed section that we won't be engaged in during today's shiur. Omar Le Mar Zutra, beginning with that expression, on Samach Beis Omud Aleph. That bracketed section lasts till Samach Beis Omud Beis, 7 shuros mirashmon, until Samach Beis Omud Beis, 7 lines from the top. Hagemara todun besoichon, within those brackets, habraisa b'fnei atzma. The Gemara will todun betochen habraisa on its own. In other words, the source that we're going to learn now has a lot of information in it, but the explanation of the information will take place there. V'achreya sograyim choseris lodun b'shitas Rav Chisda. After the brackets on Samach Beis Omid Beis, we're going to come back to Rav Chisda. So as we said earlier, this is a very long discussion, and unfortunately, because of the dafyomi nature of our shiur, we will have to pause in the middle of this discussion. So as we mentioned, there are a lot of details in this source. Truth is that the Gemara, as we said, will deal with the details, so that if you don't understand everything in today's shiur, that is because we're relying on the Gemara on Samach Beis Omud Aleph to deal with the details. So we now continue. The pasuk says, and we've written this between the lines, V'chol orel lo yoichal boi. Literally, he who is uncircumcised shall not eat of the Korban Pesach. Yochol yifsoil b'nei chabura haboin imo. Would a orel, who was appointed to a group of people who are capable of eating, who are fit for eating, an example, as we've written in between the lines, kigon sheshochat lechabur shamulin v'orel nimnei mohem, person shechted, he slaughtered the korban pesach having in mind the group of people that are circumcised, and one of the members was uncircumcised, but they were all appointed to this korban pesach. Will his presence render the korban unfit? V'din hu. Logic will lead us into a conclusion. Hoyo v'orla poselis, v'tuma poselis. Just like arlus renders a korban unfit, v'tuma poselis, someone who is tome, the korban is shechted for him, it also ruins the korban. You need to have someone who is capable of eating, and if you shecht it for someone who is not capable, as is the case if he's tomei, it ruins the korban. Ma tuma lo also ba mitzas tuma kechol hatuma. Just like we know by tuma, if he shechted a korban for a group of tameim and tahoirim, the korban is okay, is kosher. Af orla lo also ba mitzas orla kechol orla. So too, with regard to orla, a group that's partial. Mixas, partially Arelim, is not like a group of people that are all Arelim. If the Shechting was exclusively for Arelim, so that is what would render the Korban unfit. But where just part of them are Arelim, like our example, it doesn't render the Korban unfit. So that's one direction of logic. Taking the unknown here is Orlo, and comparing it to the known Halacha concerning Temeim. Oiklach lederechzu, or go in this direction, which will be a direction of stringency. in our markings, you can see we've squiggle underlined the oklach l'derech zu. In Gemara markings, we often squiggle underline transition expressions like ol dilma, ibois ema, and here we have oklach l'derech. So we'll go in this direction. And what is that? Hoyol v'orlo poselus uzman posel. Orla, as we've explained earlier, is something that renders the korban unfit. And zman is an issue concerning time. Rashi explains that the example of zman here is a reference to shechting the korban in having in mind to eat from it a kezias, an olive quantity, beyond the correct time, outside the right time for eating the korban pesach. So he has in mind that he's going to eat the korban. I'm shechting this korban pesach with the intention of eating it tomorrow. That would be usher, and that's called pigol. Ma zman also bo miktza zman kichol zman. Just like in the case of the issue of time, if he shechted it, let's say with the intention of eating a mere kezias of the animal, of the korban, outside the right time, that's miktzas, part of the animal at the wrong time. It is like you did the whole thing with the shechting, with the intention of eating the whole animal at the wrong time. Af orla, asay bo, miktzas orla, kechol orla. Maybe we should do the same thing, treat orla the same way, that even if part of the group of arelim, it's as if the whole group were arelim. So this is the opposite direction that from that which we saw at the beginning of the source. Nira lemi doma. So now let's see to which is Orla more similar. Donin Dover, and you can see what we've done marking wise, we double underline Donin just to enable you to focus on the two approaches. And again, structurally you'll see we're going to give you one approach now, and then O Klach Lederotsu is squiggle underline a few lines later, where you see the opposite. So let's see, to whom is Orla comparable? Is it comparable to Tuma, or is it more comparable to Zman? Donin Dovar She'eno Noheg B'chol HaZvachim. Let us learn Orla, which is something that doesn't apply to all Zvachim. It's the issue of Orla. For example, if a person is uncircumcised and he needs to bring another type of Korban other than a Korban Pesach, he can send it to the Beis HaMikdash and it'll be processed and he'll achieve his atonement that way. That's called Mishalchin Korban Oseim. That is true with regard to Arelim and it's true with regard to Temeim. Because in other Korbanos, the eating is not Me'akev, is not a binding factor as it is in the case of the Korban Pesach. So, let us judge Orla, which is not noheg b'chol hazochim. It doesn't apply to other korbanos other than the korban pesach. Midover sheno noheg b'chol hazochim. Let's learn the dinim of orla from the dinim of tuma, which also is something that is not noheg b'chol hazochim. As we just said, a person who's tome, so he's not acceptable for korban pesach, but for other sacrifices he is acceptable. And if that be the case, so then we will have established that Orla is like Tuma. And we said before that if you have Miksas Tuma, it doesn't ruin the Korban. So we would say Miksas Orla also doesn't ruin the Korban. Oy Klach L'derechzu, or maybe go in this direction. Donin Dovar Shelo Huter Michlolo. Let us learn the rule of Orla, which is something that is Lo Huter Michlolo, meaning there is no exception to the rule. Namely, there's no exceptional case where korban can be eaten by an orel. Midavar shalohutim michlolo, from the realm, let us learn orla from zman, which is something also that is no heter, there's no permission, there's no leniency with regard to having a korban processed with the wrong time mindset. So that in this aspect of lo huter michlol, no exceptions, orlo and zman are similar. The al tochiach tuma, and do not allow tuma to settle to prove the din, shehutra michlola. Tuma is something that has a heter. where do we find a heter? So this is one of those details that will be discussed later on, but we can tell you that if you have a Korban Pesach where the entire tzibur is tomei, and that's known as a Pesach Habo Betuma, so it can be eaten in a state of tuma. We might as well say that these topics, this particular topic, will be the subject of a sukya later on in this masechta. So we see here that Orla, which is our unknown, we were dealing with a group of people, some Orla, some not, some Arelim and some are Mulim. What is Orla similar to? So according to this, it's more similar to Zman, and if you say that, so a group that's mixed, Reilim and Mulim, would render, having them in mind, would render the Korban unfit, just like in the case of Mixasman, the Korban will be rendered unfit. So at this point, we don't know which way to go. How do we settle the matter? So we have the bracketed section, and you can see it's just a couple, three, four lines. You skip down into the where the diamond is. Talmud Lomar, this is now Rabbah's method of settling the issue. Talmud Lomar, v'chol orel. Again, this is a quote from the Pasuk, and we learn from this, kula orla posla, miksasa lo posla, only if it's exclusively arelim will the korban be rendered unfit, but if it's partial arelim, so it won't. V'chitema hu hadin lizrika, the kula orla mia pasla, and if you think that the same halacha will apply to zrika, and this is really where we have to focus our attention because this is the main point. We were dealing with the question of is there machsheves arelim bezrika? So there is machsheves arelim b'shchita that we just got finished demonstrating. But now to get to the heart of the matter, is there machsheves zrika by, is there machsheves arelim by zrika? So if you think that the same thing will apply, that if you have a mind to do the zrika for arelim, Talmud Lomar, zois. The word zos appears in the pasuk. It says zos chukas ha-pesach. And in that parsha, the Rashi points out, it says kol orel lo yoichal boi. And the word zos is a limitation or exclusionary expression. B'shchita u dekula orla miyoposla. When it comes to shchita, so if you have it exclusively arelim, it renders it unfit. Aval zrika? Afilu kula orla nami loy posla. And we've tried to emphasize with maximum emphasis this line. This is exactly the issue that we were dealing with. And the bow tie shape is explained on the side. It's lahavlit emdosam be'inyan zrika sha'alzeh kayim ha-machlokas. Here we're highlighting for you the point of Rabbah, namely that zrika, even if the entire, if your mindset is exclusively on arelim, that you're going to do the zrika for arelim, it does not render the korban unfit. So when it comes to shechita, kula orla does pasel. When it comes to zrika, even if it's kula orla, it does not pasel. As Rabbah said at the top of the page, third, fourth line from the top, he said, ein machsheves arelim zrika. That's Rabbah, actually four and five lines from the top. The Gemara continues, v'chiteimo mai kula dezrika. You might ask, well, what's the basis of being so lenient with regard to zrika, more so than shchita? The answer is, the ein machsheves oichlin bezrika. Because as opposed to shchita, where you have to shecht with people that are capable of eating, that does not apply to arelim. Ve'Rav Chista, and now Rav Chista's response, he says, Adarabo le'idach kisa. You can go, and you can learn this, you can, he says, I feel you should learn this in the opposite direction. And now, Talmud Lomar, this basically is where we'd be picking up from the original Braisa, which left us unclear of how to learn the rule of Orlo. Do I compare it to Tumo, and then we would say Mitzas Orlo doesn't Pasel, or do I compare it to Zman, and the result of that would be that Mitzas Orlo does Pasel. So in order to settle that, we continue now in the Gemara, Talmud Loimar, V'chol Orel, Kula Orlo Posla, Mitzasa Lo Posla. When it comes to the issue of Orlo, only if it's exclusively shechted for Arelim does it render the korban unfit, but if it's a group partial Arelim and others are mulim, the korban is kosher. Aval zrika, but when it comes to zrika, afilu miktsasa nami posla. Even if part of the people you have in mind are Arelim, it posels the korban. The chitema hu hadin lezrika di adika kula orlo lo posla. You might say, well, 1 second, why not compare zrika to shchita and say, just like we did by shchita, that the korban is kosher until it's done exclusively for arelim. Say the same thing by zrika, by the sprinkling of the blood. Talmud lomar zois shchita hu de miktsasa lo posla. Zos is a limitation expression, and we'll say that only with regard to shchita do we say that partial does not render it unfit. Aval zrika, afilu miktsasa pasla. Notice the highlighting again. This is what Rav Chista said originally, that when it comes to zrika, yesh machsheves arelim bezrika. Not only that, but even if part of the group are arelim, it will render the korban unfit, having arlus in mind. V'chitema mai chumrei dezrika. You'll ask, so what's the stringency of zrika more than shchita? The Gemara answers, delo mikba pikul elo bezrika. This is a very short line, but it requires a great deal of background in order to understand it. We will try to present it in a terse fashion. Pinkel is something we mentioned earlier. That's where you shech the korban with the intention of eating it at the wrong time. However, the rule of pinkel says that the korban will become pinkel. And by the way, pinkel of Zman, where you have intention of eating it at the wrong time and you actually go ahead and eat it, eating such a korban where you had that wrongful intention, regardless of then when you eat it, you can eat it immediately, but you had that wrongful intention, that results in a kores penalty. Needless to say, if you eat it at literally at the wrong time, it's already also, that becomes also as nosar, which also carries with it a kores penalty. But pinkel is a matter of having had the wrong intention time-wise, and then eating that korban, even though you're eating it immediately, that is a very severe offense leading to a kores punishment. But in order to have the korban established as a pigul korban, there are other necessities, other requirements that must be met, and that is that in addition to, let us say, having shechted the korban with the intention of eating it at the wrong time, all the rest of the steps had to have been done either with neutral intention, meaning no problematic mindset, or each one was done with a pigul mindset of eating it at the wrong time. In other words, he was makabel the dam with the intention of eating it at the wrong time. He then carried it with that intention, and he was zorek the dam. Another possibility is, as we said, not saying anything. However, if you were to shecht it with the wrong time mindset, and then at a later stage had in mind, let's say after that shechita with the improper mindset of time, you then said while you were makabel the dam, I'm receiving the blood with the intention of eating the korban outside of its designated place. If that happens, so that will derail the kores of chutz lizmano from setting in. To summarize, at what point do you know that a korban becomes pigel? You will know that only once the zrika is done, once the last stage of the korban, of the four procedures in korban processing is completed, only then will you know that it is or is not pigel. And that's what the Gemara is saying now. If you're asking what's the stringency or the uniqueness of zrika over shechita, the lo mikba pigul elo bezrika. Pigul is not established until the zrika is done, and then you can see how was every stage done leading up to that in order to establish that this is real pigul. Pigul, which is chutz lizmano, chayev bekores. Now, there was a brief bracketed section that we skipped, and we said the problem there is it's a problem in understanding the pasuk as it was initially presented. So let's go back to the brackets. The Gemara had been deliberating how should I determine the law concerning a group of people that called Miktsas Arelim. Does that render the korban pasul or not? And in the brackets, we're going back to the middle of the page, Talmud Lomar, Zois. So the Gemara asks, my Zos. What does the word Zos teach me? E lema, if you think that Zos is telling me, Dekula, Orla, Posla, Miktsasa, Lo, Posla, Hai, mi Vechol, Orel, Nafka. That's learned from Vechol, Orel, which means only if it's completely Arelim does it possible. That's not learned from the word Zos. Elo lav hochi kotoni. Rather, thusly, one is to understand the Pasuk. And we read the rest of it, that from Vechol Orel, we learn Kula Orla Pasla Mitzosel Pasla. And Zos was a limitation expression telling me that what we say with regard to Shita does not apply to Zrika. Now, how does it not apply to Zrika? That was a machlokas rabo and Rav Chisda. And for that, you can simply use our bow-tied expressions, and you see, as far as rabo is concerned, with regard to what is Zrika not like Shechita, with regard to Zrika, rabo says, even if the whole group, even if you have exclusive arlus in mind during the zrik, concerning the zrika, it does not passel the korban. And according to Rav Chisda, when it comes to zrika, even partial arlus will passel the korban. At this point, Rav Ashi enters with a question. You'll notice it's a long question. It takes you to the bottom line. Maskif lo Ravashi. And the question is posed to Rabba, it's a question posed with regard to what we've said regarding Rabba and Rav Chisda. Let's try to just refine that point. It's not that Rav Ashi is asking Akasha against Rabba and Rav Chisda, but he's asking on the way they were presented. In other words, in the way the Gemara presented Rabba and Rav Chisda, so Rav Ashi is challenging that. And the reason we're trying to be careful with how we present this is at the bottom line, you see that Rav Ashi himself presents Rav Chisda and Rabba in his way. So this is Rav Ashi's challenge to that which has been said by the Gemara in the name of Rabba and Rav Chisda till now. So he asks, Mimai dahai v'chol orel kula mashma. Who says that the v'chol orel means that there will be a psul only if the group is exclusively arelim? In other words, your mindset is on arelim exclusively. Dil mohai v'chol orel mashma kol dehu arla. maybe the approach to be taken is that v'chol arlo means even if you have a minor amount, a kolduhu is an expression meaning a negligible amount, even one orel there, the entire korban will be pasul. And kosav rachmona zois, and then zois comes to tell me the ad diika kula arlo lo pasla. And then the word zos would come to change the implication of v'chol arlo to tell me that until you have exclusive orlos, there's no psul, no distinction between shchita and zrika. Maybe that's the approach to take. Not like we were saying before that the word zos was coming to separate shchita from zrika. Not so. Maybe, as he says in the question, that zos is simply to clarify that when it comes to arlus, arlus is not a problem until the entire machshava is on arlus exclusively. And as far as that is concerned, if you have a machshava that's exclusively arlus, no distinction would be made between shchita and zrika. If that's the case, so what is the basis of the machloikis Rav Chista and Rabbah, who mentioned, they were arguing about the issue of psul arlus bezrika? Elo Amar Rav Ashi. And again, we have a long point. Notice it goes down quite a few lines the top from the top of Samach Beis Omer Aleph. Rav Chista v'Rabba, we continue at the top of Samach Beis Omer Aleph, Bahai Kro Komifligi. Their machlokis is based on the following posuk. And Rashi at the top, let's read the Rashi, Bahai Kro Pligi. Ukshiskapru boy arelim de koomar she'ein menuyin olav komar. Take a look back at Samach Aleph Omid Beis at the top line. The Gemara said shochtoy lemulin almanashi yiskapru bo arelim. You see the expression almanashi yiskapru bo arelim. Vizrika. That's what Rashi is referring to. So that phrase where you shechted for mulin, having in mind arelim for zrika, those arelim she'ein menuyim olav ka'omar, umishum machshev shlo nuyov ka'amri. Totally new approach here. He had in mind arelim that were not menuyim, that weren't counted, weren't appointed. And the problem here is, do they constitute a Shalolim Nuyov example? There is a certain level of paradox or irony over here that you would, without this Gemara, you would have said, listen, if someone is not appointed to the Korban, so it ruins the Korban. And if you have in mind non-Menuyim, it ruins the Korban. If you add to that the fact that they're arelim, that's even worse. You have like two strikes against you. They're arelim, and they're also not menuyim. That's a wrong approach to take in this Gemara. So that here we have to focus on there's a chiddush that we're going to see in this Gemara, and let's continue with the Rashi. The issue between Rabba and Rav Chista is having arelim in a low menuyim context. Rashi continues, Avol b'menuyim alav v'shachto l'mulim she'nami menuyim. But in a case where you have people that were appointed and you shechted it, let's say, for mulim, people who are fit, capable of eating it, they're mulim and they happen to be also menuyim, lizrok domo l'menuyim v'arelim, to have, and having in mind that you'll do the blood sprinkling, people that are appointed but happen to be on Reilim Shet Bohem Levadom. That's Lizrok. Let's read that again. Lizrok Domo Lemenuyov Areilim Shet Bohem Levadom. Tav Yekula Zrika Areilim Menuyov. Tekule Alma Posel. That everyone would agree is Posel. So that As you can see here the difference between Rav Ashi and the first approach, the Roman numeral number one approach. Rav Ashi is telling you that it's poshit, that there is machsheves arlus bezrika. That, of course, is if they happen to also be menuyin. So where is there room for a machloikis between Rav and Rav Chista? Uvareilim she'enon menuyin, umishum machsheves shelolim nuyov pligi. The machlokas concerns having in mind areilim that were not appointed to this particular korban, and the machlokas surrounds ubahaykra the shalolim nuyov bezrika mehocha nafik b'chol hakorbanos lechapir olav. The pasuk says lechapir olav haynu zrika olav v'lo al hazorek l'shem chavero. That when the pasuk says olav, it means for him, he who was, in this case, he was appointed to it, and not for those, not for outsiders. Now, let's get back into the Gemara. Ubahai krog komiflegi v'nirtza loy l'chapir olav. Now, this pasuk is found in Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. And that is not a reference to the korban Pesach, but from this pasuk of Enitzalo lechaper olav, we learn the rules concerning all korbanos. That's the point that Rashi made. And from that word, we say olav v'lo al chavero. That when you do the zrika, you have to have in mind the owner or the appointed one, and not chavero, not an outsider. Now the issue that we have to focus on is when does the outsider mindset really pose a problem? Rabo Sovar, Chavero Dumyo Didei. The type of Chavero that will passel the korban is if he has characteristics like you. Mahu de bar kaporo, just like you who are someone that is fit to receive atonement. Now that's a literal translation, but it means that just like you who are someone who is fit for this korban, av chavero, so to chavero that will passel it, if you have him in mind, debar kapara, someone who is fit for the korban. Lafuke hai orel, to the exclusion of the uncircumcised, the lav bar kapara hu. He is not capable in the first place of being associated with the korban Pesach. Therefore, the only time a problem arises is if the person you had in mind for the Zrika is, again, and this is in the context of Shalom Lemuyov, if he is someone that is not capable of being part of the sacrifice, so he does not pose a problem. So it might sound like a bit of an irony, but that's because of this concept of Chavero Dumyo Didei. For Rav Chista Sovar, Hai Orel Nami, Kevon Debar Chiyuvahu, Bar Kaporahu. The Orel is someone that he has the obligation upon him, but for a technical reason, because he happens to be uncircumcised, so he is not acceptable to have him in mind at the outset. Now Rav Chista says he's a bar chiyuvahu, the bar, and therefore he's called a bar kapara, and in that sense he is like the owner, he is like the one that is shechting it. Hoyel the iboy mesake nafshe. How can you say that an orel is a bar chiyuva? Because in potential, if he were to circumcise himself, he would become then someone who is clearly obligated in the korban. For technical reasons, we said before, he has a heter not to circumcise him because his brothers had died as a result of their circumcisions. Therefore, he doesn't have to do it. But in potential, if he were to circumcise himself, he would be a bar chiyuva, or he would be a bar kapara, we'll say. The bar chiyuva, he is a bar chiyuva, he has an obligation, but for technical reasons, he is excluded. This, by the way, is in contrast to, let us say, someone had in mind a Gentile. The Gentile is not dumio didei whatsoever, not even in potential. Therefore, he would not represent a problem of a incorrect machshava. The Gemara asks, "Umi is leila rav chista hoyol?" Hoyol is the term we squiggle underline the line before. Rav Chista's din was based on the potential, being that he has the potential for becoming a bar kapora. He is right now considered a bar chiyuva, and as a result of that, he's called dumyo didei. He's like the owner. Does Rav Chista hold from Hoyol? And by the way, if you say that Rav Chista holds from Hoyol, so Rabba doesn't hold from Hoyol, that you could see. V'ho itmar, but have we not learned elsewhere, and we're in the middle of it, we're starting here a long question, but have we not learned, and we learned this earlier in this Masichta, ha'oife miyom tov l'chol, someone who bakes or cooks on Yom Tov for a weekday. And here we're talking about someone that finished eating his Yom Tov meals, and he engages in cooking and baking in preparation for the weekday. And that's something that you would say ought not be done, because Yom Tov is a holy day, and what are you doing preparing for the chol? Does it result in getting malchus or not? Rav Chista Amar loike, Rabba Amar eino loike. Rav Chista says he deserves lashing. Rabba says no, he is not guilty of having violated Yom Tov. Rabba Amar eino loike. Now, Rabba says he doesn't get malchus. Why? Amrinon, we say hoyol ve'i mikloi le orchem chozi le hashtanami chozi le. If visitors would come, if visitors would pop in on him, people that he had not invited, but if they would pop in on him, he would need to prepare for them for their Yom Tov eating. If they would come in, even though you finished eating, but there's still time till the end of Yom Tov, visitors could come knocking at the door and they want to eat. So since that potential exists, hashtanami chazal, so too now that the visitors haven't come, and even though he finished his own eating, he is therefore the low loki. There is no malchus. That's Rabba. And you notice Rabba is basing the this leniency based on ho'il. Rav Chista Omar loike. Rav Chista says someone who is oifa miyom tov l'chol does get malchus. Listen, you know, you finished eating. You don't need to cook anymore for your own Yom Tov purposes. What are you doing now preparing on Yom Tov for a weekday? You shouldn't do that. What about the guests that might come? Well, lo amrinon ho, we don't say that. So Rav Chista says we do not say hoyel. Rabba says we do. Now, when you go back to five, six lines from the top, Rav Chista was telling me that having an orel in mind, shechting lemulim al-menashi skaprubo arelim that are not minuyin, Rav Chista says that ruins the korban. Why? Because the orelim there were dumyo didei through potential. Ho'il. Through potential, because he was in potential, he could circumcise himself. Here, in the case of Oifim Yom Tov L'chol, Rav Chista is saying, we don't say Hoyel. With regard to Rabba, there was also a seeming inconsistency. Rabba was saying that the Orel is not Dumyo Didei. He said, because he's right now, he's not circumcised. He's not like the owner who is circumcised. But according to Rabba, you see in the case of Oifa Miyom Tov L'chol, he says that there is no lashing because we say Ho'il. Above in the Korban Pesach Arelim story, he did not say Ho'il. Bishlamo de Rabba a de Rabba lo ikashya. As far as a seeming inconsistency in Rabba, there is no difficulty. Hacha, in the case of the Mila, he did not say Hoyel. Mechusar Maisa, it's a situation where an action, the action of circumcising, of doing the cutting of the foreskin, that is hasn't been done yet. So Rabba is not prepared to look at someone who is currently an Orel as circumcised because he has the potential for circumcising himself. There's two major a factor missing over here. So in the case of Arlus, because of Mechusar Maisa, he does not say Hoyel. Hossam, in the case of Oifim Yomtav Lechol, what was the issue there? Guests? The Lo Mechusar Maisa, there's no Maisa that's missing. In other words, the fact that you didn't invite the guests, that's not considered that there's lacking a Maisa. The guests could pop in the door with you without your having done anything. So as far as the issue of Orchim are concerned, there's no lacking of Maisa. Therefore, since there's no additional action that's missing, he activates the potential, the Hoyel analysis. Elo de Rav Chisto, ad de Rav Chisto, kashya. But with regard to Rav Chisto, there's a seemingly blatant contradiction. And it's as follows. Mind you, where in the case of Arlus, there was Mechusar Maisa, an action, a significant element was missing, and yet he overlooked that. He said, look, the guy is right now is uncircumcised, but since in potential he could be circumcised, we're going to view him as if he's circumcised. So mind you, in a case where a major factor, a major element is missing, he nevertheless looks and determines things based on potential, where nothing is missing, all the more so. And yet in the case of Oifa Miyamtav Lechol, Rav Chisda denied the Hoyel. The Gemara answers, Amri, ki les lei l'Rav Chisda Hoyel l'kula. When will Rav Chisda deny or overlook or de-emphasize the Hoyel? That is if it would lead to a leniency. In the case of Oife Miyomtav Lechol, the issue was, is the guy going to get lashings or not? So Rav Chisda says, I'm not going to activate the Hoyel analysis to save the fellow, to spare him from lashing. That would be a leniency. So where the result of activating Hoyel results in a leniency, so he disregards Hoyel. L'chumra islay. However, through activating Hoyel, you lead to a stringency, as is the case in the Korban Pesach, where you shechted l'mulim almanas shiskapru bo arelim, the arelim that were not minuyim. Well, since in potential they could circumcise themselves and they would be chavero dumyo didei, then they would be like the owner. That is reason for passeling the korban. I am going to say hoyel because the result of activating hoyel will be to render the korban unfit. And of course, it goes without saying what Rav Chisda is trying to accomplish is that people shouldn't have that as their mindset. Because if you do have that as your mindset, you will render the korban unfit. Now, we're in the context of our Daf Yomi Shiurim, so we've already overspilled a bit onto Daf Samach Beis when today's Shiur was Samach Aleph. Nevertheless, we have to mention again, like we did at the outset, structurally, we are not finished with our discussion on Rav Chisda. If you notice, we have a very long bracketed section, and the note on the side tells you, Matris Sograim Yi L'Shem Dilug. The purpose of these brackets is for skipping. Achreim HaGemara Makshe Al Hod Tiritz HaGemara Kan. Later on, Samach Beis and Beis, the Gemara will ask, the Rav Chisda, the Gemara answered here for as far as Rav Chisda Islei Hoyel L'Chumra, and we will ask on that. But Tochas Sograim, Gemara Mevaeres Prote Abraisa Deuva Liel Samahalman Beis. And within this long bracket session, the Gemara will be analyzing points that were mentioned in the Braisa back on Samach Aleph Amud Beis. So if you have the ability to skip ahead, to scroll ahead to Samach Beis, Amud Beis, where the brackets end, and by all means use your bracket length indicator so that you skim down the side of the Gemara text, the right-hand side, you keep skimming, you get to the top several lines of Samach Beis Amid Beis. Notice it says, Mosiv Rav Huna Braid Rav Yoshua. Rav Huna will be raising a question on that which we just finished saying, that Rav Chista holds from Hoyol when it is Lechumra. And that question will last a number of lines, as you can see through the markings, at which point Rav Popa will then answer that question. But as we said, in the context of the Daf Yomi, we'll have to pause here. Before we close, let us just remind you, if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.